तत्संयोरावृणीमहे गातुं यज्ञाय गातुं यज्ञपतये दैवी स्वस्तिरस्तु न स्वस्तिर्मानुषेभ्य ऊर्ध्वं जिगातु भेषजम् शन्नो अस्तु द्विपदे शञ्चतुष्पदे ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
ओ डिवाइन लॉर्ड, वी प्रे टू यू एंड वर्शिप यू द सुप्रीम बीइंग फॉर द वेल बीइंग ऑफ ऑल। मे ऑल मिजरीज एंड शॉर्टकमिंग्स लीव अस फॉर एवर, so that we may always joyfully sing in your worship, in your praise. May the medicinal herbs grow in potency, so that diseases may be cured effectively. May the gods rain peace on us. May all human beings be happy. May all other beings, animals and plants, be also happy. May there be peace in our hearts. May there be joy in our hearts. May there be peace and harmony amongst all beings. And may there be peace everywhere in nature. Good morning. Welcome to another opportunity for us to continue our study of Sadhana Panchakam. We have a very good beginning for this morning's study with a very nice devotional song so beautifully rendered by our devotees. We have done 27 instructions so far of the 40 instructions given in Sadhana Panchakam. Sadhana Panchakam is the name of a hymn composed by Sri Shankaracharya, the great Advaita Vedanta teacher. Sadhana means spiritual practices. Panchakam means a hymn containing 5 stanzas. Shatkam means a hymn containing 6 stanzas. You are familiar with Nirvana Shatkam, a hymn containing 6 stanzas on renunciation. Ashtakam means a hymn containing 8 stanzas, like that. Now we are studying Sadhana Panchakam. 5 stanzas, a hymn containing 5 stanzas on all kinds of spiritual practices, both devotional and Vedantic. There are 40 instructions in 5 verses. Each verse has 8 instructions. So we have done 27 so far. We will continue our study with the 28th instruction. It is Vidivashat Praptena Santushyatam. This poem is a very beautiful meter, very beautiful poetry, nice to chant or sing. 28th instruction is Vidivashat Praptena Santushyatam. It means Shankaracharya is asking serious spiritual seekers to practice contentment. He says in this instruction, he says, remain content with whatever destiny brings. Vidivashat Praptam. Whatever our past karma brings in our life, good or bad, indifferent, pleasant, unpleasant, let us accept it calmly and uncomplainingly. Because much of whatever is happening now is the result of past karma which we did a long time ago. We cannot go back into the past and alter things we did. So there is no other way but to accept that part of our life which is ascribed to the past karma without complaining, calmly and with a forbearance. We always have the habit of complaining. We complain about lack of money, of job. We complain about job, family. We complain about other people. We complain about weather. Everything. Things we can change, things we cannot change. We have this habit of, generally human beings have the habit of complaining things. Now, instead of focusing on the good things we have and feeling grateful for many, many blessings we already have, the Lord has bestowed upon us. Now, we focus on the things that we don't have and feel bad. That is our nature. Some people can never be happy, no matter how much they have or what they have. When it is cold, we complain that it is too cold. When it is hot, we complain it is too hot. There is always something to complain about. Shankara says that is not a good thing for a serious spiritual seeker. Sri Ramakrishna in the Gospel said this. I will read 2-3 lines from the Gospel. This is on page 336 in the English New York edition. 336, Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna says, God provides everything for a genuine devotee, even without making any effort. The Gita describes such a devotee as content with what comes to him without effort. Now, we know from our study of the Gita, all of you are studying Gita in your Friday class, with Swami Atmagyanandaji, we know that the Lord has promised to everyone. This promise has been given by the Lord. Yogakshemam vahamyaham. If we take God's name continuously, as much as possible, He will provide whatever we need and He will protect whatever we have. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham is a very famous statement in the whole of the Gita. It is so important that it is adopted as a slogan by the Life Insurance Corporation of India. They say, we will take care of you. Just give us the premium every month by our insurance. So, Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. The Lord has promised that one, that His word shall not go in vain. Yoga means He provides whatever we need for our necessities. Whatever we need, the Lord provides, but we have to be devoted to Him. That is our part of the agreement, is we have to practice devotion to God. And His part of the agreement is he shall do two things for us. Yogaha means He provides what we need. Kshemam means He protects what we have. Provision and protection from His side. That is what Sri Ramakrishna was alluding to. God provides everything for a genuine devotee, even without making any effort. Our effort is to remember God always, be devoted to Him. The Gita describes such a devotee as content with what comes to him without effort. In the 4th chapter of the Gita, Shloka 22, verse 22, Sri Krishna says exactly this, and that is what Sri Ramakrishna was quoting. He was referring to that verse in the Gita, chapter 4, verse 22, where Sri Krishna says the same thing. Yadrichalabha santushto dvandvatito vimatsadaha samasiddhava siddhau cha kritva pinanibadhyate. Yadrichalabha santushta means a true devotee of God, no matter what devotional path or advaita path, whatever path of spiritual practice he or she is practicing, remains content with what comes unsolicited. Yadrichalabha santushta means whatever comes to us on its own, with that we remain content. Dvandvatitaha. Dvandva means pairs of opposites. Our life, everybody's life, is full of pairs of opposites. Pairs of opposite means opposite things happening. Sometimes at the same time something, both opposite things happen. Like happiness and unhappiness. Something happens in your family life or a job. We feel good about it, but it also brings a negative aspect with it. That is the nature of all our experiences in our life. It's all mixed experience. Supposing you get promotion in your job, you rise in your job, you're very happy, you celebrate. But when you accept the new job, it entails a lot of travel, which you don't like to do. It entails a lot more responsibility, getting work done by other people, which is more difficult than doing it ourselves. More stress and tension. You have to work longer hours, take work home also. All those things come, rise means that. So every experience has a positive aspect which we like to enjoy, and also in its wake it brings a negative aspect. So that is the nature of life. That's why it is called pairs of opposites. Success and failure, happiness and unhappiness, praise and blame. Some people praise us no matter what we do, and for the same thing some people blame us no matter what we do. You cannot do anything about it. Therefore, what is the solution? Vimatsaraha dvandvatitaha, remaining calm and accepting what life brings. That is the quality of a true devotee of God. So Shankara is asking us to practice the discipline of acceptance, calm, uncomplaining acceptance. With this conviction, a true devotee always remains content with what life brings. Sometimes we do something and people praise us for that. And for this very same thing, other people blame us. Sri Krishna says, when such a thing happens, remain calm, remain silent. Tulya ninda stutir mauni santushto yena kena chituhu. Yena kena chit. This is in the 12th chapter of the Gita. 12th chapter is called what yoga? Bhakti yoga, the path of devotion. Describing the qualities of a true devotee of God. He, Lord, says, among other things, a true devotee of God. We all like to call ourselves devotees of God. I like to call myself a devotee of Sri Ramakrishna. But do I have real devotion to Sri Ramakrishna? I should ask that question. How do I know whether I have devotion or not? Simply claiming I have devotion to God does not make me a devotee. I should have the qualities of a true devotee of God. I should have devotion. What are the qualities of a true devotee of God? If you want to know, a checklist of about 15-20 qualities of a true devotee of God, you go to these verses in the 12th chapter of the Gita, from verse number 13 to verse number 19. 7 verses, Sri Krishna gives a long list of things. If you have this, you are a devotee of God. If you have this, you are a devotee of God. So we should use that checklist before claiming we have devotion to God. A true devotee of God never claims he has devotion to God. They always say, "Oh Lord, please give us more devotion. Please grant me pure devotion." This is the prayer of a devotee of God. A true devotee does not claim, "Oh, I am so much devotion to God, I am devoted to God." If somebody says that, it means that person does not know what devotion is. There is a very famous episode, which all of you have heard about, in the Ramayana. The lady Shabari was working as a helping assistant in the ashrama, in the monastery, of a famous rishi known as Matanga Rishi. At one time, in the monastery there were many sadhus, saints, practicing serious spiritual devotional practices. And this lady was taking care of the routine chores, menial tasks, cleaning, cooking, helping the people. In course of time, all those devotees, all those spiritual seekers left their body one by one. And Shabari was left alone. And she has to wait for her time of departure. with great devotion to Sri Rama. She was greatly devoted to Sri Rama. And she was told that one day, sometime into the future, Sri Rama will come to her ashrama and bestow his grace upon her. She was waiting for that blessed day. And after a long time of waiting, alone, one day Sri Ramakrishna comes with Lakshmana. Sri Ramakrishna was looking for Sita. Sita had been taken away by Ravana. You know the Ramayana story. And then he comes. He happens to come to Shabari's ashrama. And Sri Ramakrishna was pleased with Shabari's devotion. Sri Ramachandra. Did I say Sri Ramakrishna? I do that often. Thank you. I do that often. Sri Ramachandra goes to Shabari's ashrama and then Shabari gives fruits and washes his feet and prostrates. And Sri Ramachandra is pleased with Shabari's devotion and offers her a boon. Sri Ramachandra says to Shabari, you ask me something what you want to have. Whatever she wanted, she could have asked. She could ask for liberation if she wanted. Sri Ramachandra was ready to bestow his grace upon her. But you know what she asked for? Shabari simply asked Sri Ramachandra to teach her how to practice pure devotion to God. She already had pure devotion to God. But this is the quality of a true devotee of God. A true devotee never claims I have all the devotion. No, the true devotee says, O Lord, please grant me pure devotion to thy lotus feet. Nadanam najanam asundarim kavitam ma jagadish kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahituki tvayi. The true devotee's prayer, Chaitanya Sikshashtakam, is, O Lord, I am not seeking wealth or fame or scholarship or a beautiful spouse. In my present birth, and if I have to take more births in the future, in all my births, please bestow upon me pure devotion to the lotus feet. Please grant me pure devotion to the lotus feet. Ahetuki bhakti bhavatat mama janmani janmani tvayi ishvare, in you, O Lord, the Lord of the universe, please grant pure devotion. That is what we should be seeking. If you seek the devotion to God, rest of it He will take care of it. That is His promise. That is why we should remain content with Lord, with what the Lord provides. Now we can ask one more question. If that is the case, if the Lord provides whatever we already need, why are we so discontent? Why are we not happy and contented with what we have? How to practice contentment? Discontent means a state of mind in which one is unhappy with the existing circumstances. And one believes that if somehow the circumstances can be changed or improved, for example, by acquiring something new that we don't have, then everything will be happy and nice. Life will be very, very nice, wonderful. Now, some people, to give a general example, they want to marry, or they already married, they want to have a child, or they have a child, they want another child. And they try and they get a child. Now, when the child comes, the contention is that marriage will bring happiness, children will bring happiness, rise or promotion in the job will bring happiness, more money will bring happiness. This is the contention. But Vedanta says there is no basis for that kind of assumption. Because as Swami Vivekananda says in one of his lectures, all happiness comes wearing a crown of sorrow on its head. Everything is a mixed experience. You accept this, you accept the opposite also. That is why we have to remain calm and accept what life brings and practice contentment. According to Vedanta, no happiness comes from outside. We think so. We think children will bring happiness, family will bring happiness, job will bring happiness, money will bring happiness, good health and beauty, dress, jewelry, car, everything will bring happiness. That is a misunderstanding. Vedanta says happiness is not in these, in outside, in these things, in these objects and experience. Happiness is already within us. So the sign of wisdom is to not look for happiness where it cannot be found, but to go straight to the source of all joy, which is the self within. We are that, not that we have happiness as a quality. If it were a quality, then it would vary, subject to variation coming and going. It is our intrinsic nature. Anandam brahmano vidvan. A true knower of truth sees the self as very anand, as very bliss. Bliss itself is our true nature. We have to seek that. Leaving that, you are looking for happiness in all those outside things, experiences and objects where there is no chance of it being found. That is the mistake we are making. That's why Sri Krishna says in the Gita, Nateshu Ramate Buddha. In these outside objects and experiences, where we are seeking happiness, there is no chance of it being found. And a truly wise person, Buddha, Teshu Bhogeshu Naramate, does not take any delight, does not hanker, does not strive for outside objects and experiences. Go straight to the source of all joy, where it can be found to be intrinsic in our nature. Cannot be lost, cannot diminish, is unconditional and pure. That is the basis for practicing contentment with outside things, outside aspects of life. A wise person is one who finds unlimited joy in the self and does not depend upon external things for happiness. Describing such a wise person, Sri Krishna says in the Gita, in the second chapter of the Gita, with which many of you are familiar, Sri Krishna gives a list of qualities. Krishna is the great list maker. In almost every chapter, he gives a list. List of qualities of a sitapragna, list of qualities of a devotee, list of qualities of jnana, list of jnani, like this he keeps on giving. What is the purpose of giving such lists to us in various chapters of the Gita? So that we can emulate and practice those things that he mentions. So in the second chapter, describe any qualities of a sitapragna, a realized person. One thing that Sri Krishna says is, Atmanyevatmana tushtaha. Yada atmanyevatmana tushtaha tada sita prajna iti vachyate. If a person learns two things, one thing is there is no chance of finding an iota of happiness in external objects, though however tempting it may be. And second thing is all joy, unconditional, infinite, eternal joy and peace has to come from within. Therefore, there is no use seeking external objects in order to find happiness. That is a sign of wisdom. Atmani eva atmana tushtaha tada sita prajna iti vachyate. That is the basis for practicing contentment. Thus, a true devotee always remains content depending upon what the Lord provides. He provides what we need. And he also protects what we already have. A true jnani always derives great bliss from the self and does not seek joy or pleasure in external things. That is the 28th instruction to practice contentment. Here Shankaracharya says, Vidivashat praptena santushyatam. Now we go to the 29th instruction. This also is similar instruction. This instruction deals with the practice of equanimity under varying conditions in life. Life's conditions are changing every day. Today these things happen, this thing happens, in the evening something, the whole situation changes, tomorrow something else happens. It's never stable. We hope that things are stable and steady, but that's not the case. Always things change. Under the varying conditions, in the face of all inevitable vicissitudes in life, in everybody's life, we have to practice equanimity. So the instruction is, 29th instruction is, Shitoshnadi Vishahyatam Sahanam, means bearing, enduring, forbearing. Shitoshnadi, Shitoshna means heat and cold. Heat and cold are examples of all kinds of pairs of opposites. Pain and pleasure, gain and loss, praise and blame, these are all things that happen in everybody's life. Good health and sickness, this happens. Poverty and financial well-being, all these things happen. Under all these varying conditions, Shankaracharya is asking us to practice equanimity. Endure heat and cold and all other pairs of opposites, he says. Endurance or forbearance of all changes inevitable in life is an essential virtue for any spiritual seeker. Changes in our life, such as pain and pleasure, gain and loss, fame and blame, success and failure, are inevitable. Nobody can prevent it. Nobody can engineer all events in life to be in his or her favor. No one has been able to do it from the beginning of creation. Everybody's life has been a succession of vicissitudes, changes. No matter who that person is or has been, king or beggar or richest person or wisest person. Even great saints had to go through difficulties in their lives. They also, their bodies also became old and sick. Some people blamed them also. Therefore, Shankara's instruction is to practice equanimity, forbearance. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna urges us to practice equanimity in success and failure and all other pairs of opposites. In fact, he declares, in the second chapter, Sri Krishna declares that this practice of equanimity is the essence of yoga. Yoga has many different definitions. In the second chapter, Sri Krishna describes yoga, the essence of yoga, as the practice of equanimity. If you practice equanimity, equipoise under all circumstances, then we are yogis. So he says, Samatvam yoga uchyate. Samatvam means equanimity. Whatever happens, I don't lose balance of my mind. I remain calm, maintain equanimity, inwardly remaining calm. That is the virtue that Shankara is asking us to practice. Even in big changes, small changes happen every day, but from time to time big changes happen. Sometimes the changes happen gradually, over a period of time, sometimes they happen suddenly. Whichever way change happens, Shankara and other teachers have said that we should practice equanimity, equipoise, remaining calm. Dehi nosminyatha dehi kaumaram yavanam jara. Kaumara means childhood. Kumara means a boy. Kumari means a girl. Kaumara means childhood. In childhood, we don't have any worry. All we are concerned about is play. Mother takes care of our food and other necessities, and we don't have to worry about making money, with paying the bills, going to work, nothing, just play and school. Not even homework in the primary school, middle school. Nothing to worry about. That is, how long does it last? We now, when we become old, I wish I were able to go back into my childhood when I didn't have a trace of anywhere. I was happy. But that doesn't last long. Kaumaram yields to yavanam. Youth will come. Youth will bring its own problems. Not only acne and other things, but other problems youth will bring. That phase also we went through. Then happens middle age, steady state. Then what happens? It doesn't stay like that. Nothing stays steady in life. Everything changes. Some things change slowly, some change rapidly. Jara. Jara means old age comes. Old age is no fun. Some of us know it from experience. Tatha. Here comes a very positive spin on something that is not considered positive, ordinarily. Shri Krishna says, Dehantara Praptihi. Shri Krishna tries to say in a very positive way, what is generally considered a negative experience? What is that? Death. He says, death is not something to be unhappy about. Look upon death as Dehantara Prapti. This old body which has become worn out, deliberated, sick, so many problems, will be replaced by a beautiful baby of a newborn infant. Dehantara Prapti. Why not look upon that in that positive way? That is Sri Krishna's advice to us. Dhiras tatrana muhyati. A wise person is not confounded by these things. So many changes happen. He takes everything in stride and remains happy and content and equanimous. Does not become disturbed by all these things. Describing the qualities of a true devotee of God, Sri Krishna says in the Gita, in the 12th chapter, Shitoshna sukha dukkeshu samaha. Shita, Vishna, sukha dukkha, they are mentioned together in many places in the Gita and other scriptures. Shita, Vishna means physical experiences, heat and cold. Pain and pleasure means mental experiences. Shitoshna sukha dukkeshu samaha. Sama means equanimous. Today if I am happy, if I am feeling very good, that is good. But I should not assume that tomorrow also I will be happy and feeling good. Suddenly things will change in the body and things will change in life. Therefore we should be prepared for all these changes, accept change as inevitable in life. And don't become attached to anyone particular state of existence. If things are good today, don't assume it will be good all the time. If things are bad today, don't also assume that it will be bad always. Accept change and remain equanimous. Similarly, a yogi striving to practice meditation should remain equanimous in heat and cold, pain and pleasure. Shitoshu sukadukeshu tatha manapa manayoho. Mana means honor, somebody praising us, giving us respect. Apamana means somebody saying things against us, putting us down. Endurance in all pairs of opposites, such as heat and cold, pleasure and pain, gain and loss, success and failure, is an important virtue in all spiritual seekers, regardless of the path they are following. That is similar to the previous instruction. Now we go on to the next instruction, instruction number 30, now to discuss. 30th verse, 30th instruction. Natu vritha vakyam samacharyatam. Vritha vakyam na samacharyatam. Vritha vakyam means useless speech, gossip. Na samacharyatam. Avoid wasteful talk, useless talk. Much of the precious time we have, very precious, our time in this life is very precious. Whatever we want to do, we want to do it now, without postponing them. Because there is no unlimited, time is a very limited and finite resource. In our life, time is infinite. But in our lives, the time allotted to our life, in our lifespan, that is finite. Therefore, we should not waste. If we waste other things, like paper, we can grow more trees. Not that I'm asking you to waste paper, but it's a renewable resource. If I waste water, then water will eventually come back to earth and again rivers will flow. Not that we should waste water. It's, they are renewable. Some of them can be regenerated. But if I waste time, it is gone once for all. Shankara says in elsewhere, pratyayanti gata punar nadivasa kalo jagat bhakshakaha gataha divasaha na punah pratyayanti. Once a day is, why only a day? Once a minute is passed, that minute is passed forever. It will never come back. That same minute will not come back. Another minute will come if there are more minutes left in my time. Otherwise, end. Therefore, we should not waste that precious time allotted to us in this lifespan in useless talk. Talk is usually about useless things. Even in many Vedanta programs, not here. People only talk about God always. In other places, as soon as the retreat session is over, immediately they start talking about worldly things. Usually conversation is about sports, about money, about stocks, about Wimbledon, about health and food and politics, other people, recipes, children, dress, celebrities, movies. All these things are common topics. You are supposed to do some small talk to be civil. But that kind of talk, according to Shankara, is totally useless and wasteful of time and energy and should not be engaged in. Serious spiritual seeker should not engage in useless talk and gossip. Much of the ordinary conversation, if you examine the motive, why people say smart things, it's smart to say something or some joke or something. Why? Mostly there is a hidden motivation. It is to show off how much one knows or how smart one is or how witty one is. In professional life it is different. In professional life, in certain circumstances, certain jobs require one to speak. If you are a speaker, if you are a teacher, you have to speak. Then you cannot say, I will practice silence. You are paid to speak. But that is purposeful speech. Then speech has to be purposeful and true and useful. It has to be useful. There also in a classroom, you cannot stand up and gossip. You have to say relevant things only, useful things only. Then speaking is good. That is not considered as gossip or vain speech. Before one speaks, one should make sure that what one is going to speak satisfies three conditions. This is an old saying. In many cultures it is said, what I am going to speak must satisfy three conditions. I should make sure that my speech is satisfying these three conditions before I speak, not after I speak. First thing is it must be true. Second thing is it must be necessary, not useless talk. And third thing, it must be compassionate. Kindly it has to seem. Even unpleasant things have to be presented in a compassionate manner. So these are the three tests. Narada says, where he gives very specific instructions in the Bhakti Sutras, devotional aphorisms of Narada, which you all have studied with Atmajnanandaji some time ago. Narada says in one of the aphorisms, aphorism number 63, if you want to go back and study it, Narada Bhakti Sutra. Stri dhana nastika vairi charitram nashravaniyam. Even listening to useless talk is also wasteful of time and energy. Whether I speak or listen, it is the same thing. Speech is speech. Stri dhana nastika vairi charitram nashravaniyam. Keeping men devotees in mind, he said, talking about women, stri, talking about money, dhana, talking about nastika, people who don't believe in our particular faith, vairi, talking about people whom we don't like or those who don't like us, charitram, vairi charitram, talking about their lives, nashravaniyam, we should not even listen to such. Not only should we not speak, we should not even listen to such conversation. It is very damaging to a spiritual seeker. A spiritual aspirant should not talk about or listen to conversation about women or members of opposite gender, we should say generally, money, non-believers or enemies. In Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says that a serious seeker should resort to solitude. If somebody else is there, then we have a tendency to talk. But if I am alone, I talk within myself. In conversation, there is no need for two people. One person can play both the parts. Constantly some chatter is going on in my mind. So that is also speech. If I think useless thoughts, that is also a waste of time and energy. Sri Krishna says, Vivekta Sevi, you should resort to solitude. Sri Ramakrishna also said, go to practice solitude, go into solitude. Vivekta Sevi, remain in solitude as much as possible. Laghvashi, take moderate amount of food. Yata Vakkaya Manasaha, this comes in 18th chapter, sloka 52. Yata Vakkaya Manasaha, three things we have to control. Walk is the first thing. Speech has to be controlled. We have to think about what we are going to say before we say. Yata walk, kaya, we have to control the movements of our body. Manasaha, what the sense organs do, we have to control. Yata walk, kaya, manasa means we have to control what the mind thinks about. In regard to control of speech, particularly, Sri Krishna gives five instructions in the 17th chapter of the Gita. First instruction regarding speech. Shankara's instruction we are studying is Vrithavakyam na samucharyatam. Do not engage in useless conversation. Listening to such conversation is also useless activity. So five instructions are given by Sri Krishna in the 17th chapter of the Gita. Whenever we speak, these five things have to be kept in mind. One thing, first thing. Speech should not cause discomfort. Anudvega karam vakyam. If I say something, it should be pleasant and true. If it makes you angry, if it makes you unhappy, if my speech causes you embarrassment or pain, then I should not say such things. It should be anudvega karam vakyam. Speech that does not cause any pain or discomfort to the listener. Second condition, it has to be true. Satyam, very obvious condition. Third condition is it has to be agreeable. Priyam, disagreeable things, if it is not necessary to say, we should not say. Disagreeable thing which may be true, but why to say if it is not necessary? Sometimes it becomes necessary, then we have no choice but to say it in a compassionate way. That is required sometimes. But if it is not required, we don't have to reiterate that one. Supposing somebody is a very short person, then what's the point telling him that you are very short? He knows it before I know it. It is true, but it is not necessary. It is not necessary to remind that person of that. Already he is aware of it keenly himself. Why make it worse? Why make him feel bad? I also have so many defects in my personality, but I am intent upon finding out defect in somebody else's personality. That should not be done. It has to be agreeable. Fourth condition, speech has to be beneficial, hitam. If it is not useful, then why say something? Sometimes people just say something just because they have to say something. It's not necessary. Fifth condition is different in nature. Five conditions about speech. Scriptures have to be studied. Why scriptures study has been brought in the discipline of speech? Because everything we say, every word I say, or every word I hear somebody says, makes an impression on my mind. We don't generally are not aware of that one. Every word I am saying is making an impression on my mind. Every word that I am saying that you are listening is also making an impression on your mind. And what happens to these impressions? They don't go away. They keep on accumulating. And then they will manifest themselves in our speech and action. The sum total of all these impressions that we have been gathering for a very long time has resulted in my present personality. What I am at this moment in my life is the result of everything I have thought in my whole existence until the present moment. I have myself sculpted this present personality of me by my own thoughts. As you think, so you become. That's a very well-established saying. So whatever scripture we study, hymns, devotional hymns, scriptures, Vedas, Ramayana and hymns, etc., they leave a positive impression on our mind and alter our personality and gives it a spiritual orientation. That is why scripture study is important. Recently some studies have been made, scientific studies have been made on the effect of Sanskrit chanting on the mind. They have shown in scientific studies that chanting hymns and verses in Sanskrit language especially produces a definite positive impact on the mind. Studies have shown that. Therefore, scripture study is also a discipline of the speech. Anudvegakaram vakyam. According to Shankara, control of speech, among other things, constitutes the very first step of yoga. We all want to do spiritual practice. We follow the devotional practice or Advaita or Kriya Yoga or whatever we are doing. Shankara makes a blanket statement. He says, regardless of the spiritual path you are following, the first thing that all spiritual seekers must do is to control the speech. There's a very nice verse in Vivek Chudamani, verse number 367. There he says, he gives this very important instruction. Yogasya prathamadvaram vang nirodha. Vak means speech. Nirodha means control. Control of speech is the very first step in yoga. Bhakti yoga, Jnana yoga, Karma yoga, whatever Raja yoga you do, you do. But for all these yogas, the very first step, required step is vak nirodha, control of speech. How to control speech? The five instructions Sri Krishna has given. We went through them. In this context, one more thing I want to point out before leaving this topic. Speech is not only what is spoken or heard, what one thinks is also speech. Because all thought happens through the medium of words only. Even if there is nobody else, I am alone, I am thinking useless thoughts, so I am engaging in useless speech within myself. All thoughts are speech. Sri Krishna mentions maunam or silence as a discipline of the mind and not merely a discipline of speech. Manah prasadaha samyatvam maunam atma vinigraha bhavasam shuddhiritya tapo manasam uchyate. Maunam is a manasam tapaha. Manasam tapa means a discipline of the mind. He did not say silence is a discipline of speech. Supposing I don't speak, and because there is nobody else to speak some days, then am I observing silence? No, my mind is going berserk. All kinds of thoughts are coming, good and bad and necessary and unnecessary thoughts. I am not silent. I am alone, but still I am not silent, because thinking is speech. Therefore, it is not sufficient to not refrain from speaking aloud in words. Sometimes we are more eloquent through body language and sign language. Sometimes some people say, on Thursdays I observe silence. Come Thursday, what happens? The person does not speak. But is he silent? He putting post-it notes on the refrigerator and communicating through body language like this. Now, what is silence? Silence is a discipline of the mind, not only speech discipline. Therefore, if you want to practice control of speech, we should control our thoughts also. So when Shankara says that we should avoid unnecessary speech, vrithavakyam samucharyatam, na samucharyatam, we should take it to mean that we should also not harbor unnecessary thoughts. There, we shall conclude our today's study. Still there are 10 more instructions in about three more sessions we can finish this one. So I'll say the concluding prayer now. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om, may all be happy. May all be free from afflictions. May all realize what is auspicious. May no one be subject to misery. Om, peace. May there be peace and joy in our hearts. May there be peace and harmony amongst all beings. And may there be peace everywhere in nature. Harihi Om Tat Sat Sarvam Sri Ramakrishnarpanamastu.